Our sermon text is from Malachi, beginning in chapter 2, verse 17, which is the last verse before chapter 3, so one extra verse. So Malachi 2, 17 to the end of chapter 3, verse 18. Malachi 2:17 to 3:18. Now hear the word of the Lord. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Ask the Lord whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may my mouth speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart give understanding. Incline our ears to you, that we not fear evil, that we not trust in our wealth, nor boast in our riches. We rejoice, O Lord, that you have redeemed us, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of your Son. By your Spirit, teach us to value the worth of your good favor and the eternal wealth of your gracious salvation. Put idols far from us and put into our hearts to delight in the glory of your word, for your righteous judgment is to be more desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, you can count Jesus this morning, and you can count tithe or tithing. Jesus and tithe. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ, we return this morning to our sermon series on practical living of the faith. We took a hiatus during the quarantine and the Easter season, and we have some final sermons to finish out the series on practical living of the faith. And a reminder, this practical living of the faith is God has revealed himself in his word. And he's revealed his will to us, his people. And we are to read his word, know his word, faithfully and wisely apply his word in service to him and his kingdom. But that's more than just making the faith practical. That is part of it. We hear God's word, we apply it to our lives. But the applying of the faith, applying what we've learned, is to an end. It's to the glory of God that we apply our faith. It is to the building up of his kingdom that we apply our faith. So especially in light of our text today, consider how to apply this to the glory of God and how to apply this in the building up of his kingdom. Now this morning we hear from God's word generally on the topic of money. But specifically, we hear on a topic of tithing. Now, generally, God's word has a lot to say about money, about wealth, about giving, warnings against greed. And we ought to take heed of that teaching. God has put it into the heart of man to value wealth, to value precious metals like silver and gold, to value precious gemstones, stones of fire. That isn't by accident that we desire those things. In fact, that is a good thing, to desire something that God has made as good. Now, God creates wealth, he gives wealth, and that is a good thing. Wealth is a good thing. We give thanks to God for the wealth he gives us, no matter how great or how small it is. He blesses us with gifts. Others might give us gifts. Those are still from God. And he blesses us through our labors in earning wealth. Even what we produce with our own hands, the resources he gives us, the effort we put toward earning, those are gifts from God. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, I worked harder than all of them. Yet it was not I who worked, but the grace of God working through me. So as we earn, as we accumulate wealth, in faithful response to that, we thank God. And we use what he has given us, we use those gifts for his honor and glory. Because it all belongs to him. In our call to worship from Psalm 24, the first verse, the earth is the Lord's, in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So the whole world belongs to God. Everything in the world belongs to God. All the people of the earth belong to God, and everything in the world belongs to God. Everything. This includes every person and everything is God. All of creation effectively has a sign on it that says property of God. You, your possessions, every person, property of God. Christians and unbelievers alike. So see your wealth. See all the riches of the world as means to glorify God. The whole world testifies to his ownership. Everything testifies to his greatness. Now, sinful man can ruin really good things like wealth. These pose great temptations for idolatry and greed. And God, by his grace throughout Scripture, by the power of the Spirit, warns us of the fleeting worth of idols, the futility of greed. Now, different studies of Scripture, specifically the Gospels, reveal that about 10% to upward 33% of Jesus' teaching concerned money and wealth. Anywhere from 10% to 33%, depending on what you included in that. But Jesus taught a lot on wealth and money. So if a preacher wanted to preach like Jesus, a preacher ought to preach about maybe one sermon a month or one every other month on the topic of money. If you want to preach like Jesus. Jesus warned about greed, he warned about idolatry, and he taught a faithful use of money. Now, the first principle we must believe, accept, and rejoice in is that Psalm 24 truth. All of our wealth belongs to God. Just as all of you belongs to God, and you confess that in the confession, that Jesus purchased all of you, just as all of you belongs to God, everything you own belongs to God too. This includes 100% of your wealth, 100% of your income, all your cash, your savings, your financial future, all of it belongs to God. You can take your credit card and scratch out your name and write Jesus on it because it belongs to him. So we live lives of constant gratitude. Thanking God for his gifts, thanking God for his blessings, thanking God for the opportunities to earn and to build up our wealth. Now, brothers and sisters, there are many lies being told right now, some heightened by the cultural moments, the days in which we live. And one line that you are being told today is to feel guilty for your blessings. God has blessed you with gifts. He's blessed you with opportunities. He's blessed you with the fruit of the Spirit. And you're being told to feel guilty for all of that. Does that make sense? God gives you a blessing and you feel guilty about the blessing? The response is not to feel guilty for what God's given you. The response is not to confess your blessings, to confess your privilege. That's not the faithful response. It's not to say sorry for my family's generational wealth. That's not the faithful response. It's praise. It's gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping my parents and my grandparents from wicked generational sin. Thank you, God, for giving me the fruit of the Spirit, such as self-control, to not waste what I have, to not make foolish choices in my life and get myself into trouble. Praise God for all of it. Consider this. If you knew God gave you gifts, they're all from God. That's what Holy Scripture testifies. In this day and age, in the year 2020, right now, how might the devil deceive you to respond to those gifts? I want to thank God for what he's given me. I think I'll feel guilty about it. Does that sound like the faithful response? No. Give God thanks. Give God thanks for your gifts, and then use them generously. Use them wisely. Use them faithfully to his honor and glory. So generously. Bless others with your gifts. You've been given much, use them to bless others. Yes, you can absolutely enjoy your gifts. The Father blesses his children with much, and we enjoy those blessings. He enjoys our celebration of those blessings. Our commissioning verses from 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19, but just verse 17. Trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God gives us gifts to enjoy. So what does he want us to do with them? Enjoy them. Thank God for what he's given us. Now enjoy them. And he wants us to bless others for them. In Ecclesiastes, cast your bread upon the waters. Give to others. Trust God and be generous. Today, Sunday, on the church calendar, is Trinity Sunday. And in the Godhead are three divine persons who give and bless the other persons. The Son goes to glorify the Father. The Father glorifies the Son. And then they send the Spirit, and the Spirit glorifies the Father and the Son. There's a mutual divine giving within the Godhead. You are made in the image of God. You give. You bless. You serve others for the glory of God. So be generous. Be wise with your wealth. Be a good steward of the gifts God's given you. Save, invest, plan responsibly for the future. Plan to leave blessings, to leave wealth to the next generation. That's a good thing. You shouldn't feel guilty about it, and your children and grandchildren shouldn't feel guilty about it. Now, you can't guarantee that the next generation will use the wealth faithfully, but you can control your responsible saving and spending now. So do that. Thirdly, faithfully. Use God's gifts faithfully. Use the money, your possessions, how he has commanded you to use them. Again, be wise, be generous. Don't use your wealth for sin. Don't use your wealth for idolatry. First and foremost, seek ye first the kingdom. Use the money to build the kingdom. And this kingdom building with our wealth begins with the tithe. The tithe. Boys and girls, tithe means one-tenth. It's literally what the word means. One-tenth, or 10%. So if you have $10, kids, you lay out 10 individual dollars, 10 $1 bills. A tithe would be one-tenth of that, just one of those $10. And you give that tithe back to God, and you keep the other nine. God's people give the tithe back. That's a very important detail. You give it back to God. Now, we tithe off what we earn. We tithe on what we bring in. You work and make money. You tithe off of what you've earned. You get a bonus, a return on investment. God's given you that. You tithe off of that, 10%. If you don't get a paycheck, you don't tithe off it. You don't have anything. You haven't earned anything. So if you don't bring anything in, you don't have anything to tithe off of. If you're between jobs, you don't tithe off because you haven't been earning anything. Now you are still generous. You still bring something to God in worship. You still give to others. But no earning, no tithe. Now, the first tithe in Holy Scripture was Abram. Abram tithed. Abram tithed to Melchizedek. So it's before the Mosaic Law was given. Before Moses, before Israel's law, Abram tithed. And this tithing by Abram would lead to Abraham's seed, Israel, tithing to Levitical priesthood. Jacob tithed before Moses. Jacob tithed to Laban. As Jacob is a son of Abraham, as we are sons of Abraham, we tithe. And we tithe to Jesus, who is the high priest after Melchizedek. So as Abram tithed to Melchizedek, we tithe to Jesus. Now, yes, tithing was built into the law of the Old Covenant. God's people tithe out of their flocks and their fields. And part of the nation's faithfulness was generosity, generous living, caring for the Levite, because the Levite didn't have any possessions, caring for the poor, the orphan, the widow, the sojourner. Failure in these areas was lawlessness. It's setting apart the law of God. And the prophets repeatedly addressed this in their messages. God's people care for those in need. Don't oppress the widow, the orphan, the sojourner. Don't oppress them. Care for them. Be generous with them. Malachi's prophetic message, failing to tithe was failing to obey. Failing to obey God. Now, previously in history, disobedience to the covenant was the reason Israel and Judah went into exile. God in his mercy brought his people back, restored them to the land, and again, they fell into faithlessness. And Yahweh says here in Malachi 3, I don't change. I am the same God who sent you into exile. I'm the same God who gave the law. I'm the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I do not change. And I've been merciful and patient with you. Repent. Keep the covenant. And because Israel was not keeping the covenant, the Lord was withholding blessing from the people. And in fact, he was cursing the people. Now, Church of Jesus Christ, judgment from God begins in the house of the Lord. Judgment begins with God's people. If we don't believe the true gospel, if we fall for a false gospel that's being told this day, the world's not going to believe the true gospel either. We have to believe the true gospel and tell that to the world. Don't have the world tell us what the false gospel is. And the same thing with money, with wealth. If we are faithless with money, with our wealth, if we've fallen into idolatry, worldliness, if we're not tithing faithfully, if we're not caring for the poor, the world won't use money faithfully either. Do you have confidence in our elected officials to use money faithfully and wisely? How have they been doing in that regard? A lot of debt, a lot of unwise spending and making of money. But if the church isn't right, we can't expect the world to be right in this area. Malachi rebuked God's people. You are robbing God. You are failing to give faithfully. You're not submitting to God as the owner of the wealth. And the people grumbled. Your covenant, Lord, is too heavy. The just judgment you're bringing on us is too much. And God says, repent, and I will bless you. Trust God, and you'll be blessed. Brothers and sisters, this is faithfulness. This is faithful use of wealth. Trusting in his care. It's testifying, believing, I believe God will provide for all my needs, and I demonstrate that trust by giving to him first one of the $10. I trust him first. He will take care of the rest. Now, in that, don't hear tithe and spend irresponsibly. God has it all under control. That's not what it means. It means tithe and be a good steward of what he's given. So we must begin with God with the first fruits, just like his people in the old covenant. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. The Apostle Paul wrote, "On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." We begin our week, the first day of the week, setting apart the first fruits. I begin my week, I begin my life giving to God by faith. If we give to God last, what are we going to find out about what we have? We've spent it all. We won't have enough. We always have other needs for money. Every single one of us does. One theologian wrote, "The first fruit tithe is like the tree in the garden. It has a sign around it that reads, 'No trespassing.' That's your tithe. Set it aside, no trespassing. No one touches it, no one gets it, that's for God." All of our saving, all of our spending begins with that first fruit, begins with the tithe. And in the covenant body, for everyone, it's the same amount, same proportion, 10% of what you earn. Before you pay any bills, spend any money, or set apart for future use responsibly, you take the first fruits, you set apart one-tenth for God, and you give it back to him. It's not how much of my money do I get to keep, how much of my money do I have to give. It's how much of God's money does he let me keep. It's all his. This is a question of ownership, brothers and sisters. We are not independent, autonomous, and self-sufficient. No, he upholds every one of us. It's all grace. And that 90% he lets us keep is bonus for our enjoyment and for further service to him. 90%. Now, don't fall into the temptation of excuse for lacking the ability to faithfully tithe due to previous poor financial choices. Don't rob God because you've been irresponsible in the past. Repent of your financial irresponsibility and trust God to help you out over time. If you set apart the first fruits, you won't need to be worried that there won't be enough. In the words of Malachi, do you consider, in your saving, your giving, that God might give you more if you're generous? God might give you more if you tithe faithfully? Tithe as a means to more wealth? Do you consider that? Because that's what God says. That's what Malachi's message was. That he might open the heavens and pour down blessings upon his people, a good flood of sorts to open the heavens and give to his people. So don't cling to your wealth. Don't trust in your riches for your deliverance. Jesus is our example. Jesus emptied himself of everything. Jesus counted equality with God nothing to be grasped. Like your wealth, don't cling to your wealth. Jesus made himself of no regard. So follow him in that. Consider your wealth as nothing in your following of Christ. Be willing to forsake it all. Love Jesus more than your wealth, which the rich young ruler didn't do. and love Jesus with your wealth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who has given unto us thy servants grace, by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity, we ask, O Lord, that you keep us steadfast in faith and worship, in trust and generosity. Keep us from idolatry and greed, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory. O Father, who with the Son and the Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.